Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Yeah, Jonathan, we were totally not prepared to give gift cards to graduates of the younger ages. You have to be high school and post-high school for that one. I began the last service with prayer, but we prayed a lot, so we will just dive in here this morning. If you want to get the scriptures out, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17 is where we will be in a few moments. I want to speak to you a little bit of what Jane's already addressed in turning the calendar, the church calendar, to ordinary time. Probably most of us, many of us, weren't raised with the liturgical calendar, the church calendar, a different way to tell time. It's important for us to kind of acknowledge what we're doing as it happens. And so Trinity Sunday is today, and it is the beginning of ordinary time. The calendar that leads up to this is what's called the Christ calendar, and so it pays attention to the movements of the life of Jesus. And in ordinary time, we pay attention then to the life of the church, or what it means to live out our lives as followers of Jesus. And so as Pastor Jane said, it's paying attention to everyday discipleship. It's paying attention to everyday discipleship. And so that's what we're turning the calendar towards here today. If you're following along, if you guys are, and this is maybe an encouragement and just a word of guidance, if you follow along with the lectionary readings for each Sunday, which are always available in the bulletin with a little code there, if you're following along, we are going to be taking the gospel chapter and the alternate chapter of the Old Testament text for our ordinary time. So those two pieces of scripture we'll be using to frame each of our Sunday mornings together. And so that's just a really great way for you guys to be able to participate in the life of the church and to get into preparation for today before we even get together. There is a spectrum, I think, of there's a spectrum of our life with God, and there's a way in which God deserves, and one of the ways that we can participate in life with God is through kind of the lens of the psalm that Jane read this morning. It's this majestic sort of way. There's awe, there's reverence, those kinds of things. That's at one end of the spectrum, and this spectrum creates an incredible breadth for us to experience. On the other end of the spectrum is what we're going to talk about today, and it's this familiarity with God. There can be a very intimate, close familiarity that we have in our relationship with God. And it's not whether we're at one end of the spectrum or another. Actually, I think one of the invitations of faith is to allow the breadth of that to exist and for us to experience God in the breadth of that existence, to awe and majesty and wonder and reverence to just the familiar, where God is just very familiar to us, as we'll see this morning. It's Trinity Sunday, and so there you go. He's already on top of it. This is the Rublev icon. It's an old Russian icon. And we've seen it before. I've used it many a times before. But one of the things I love is the empty seat at the table. And so I don't know if you think it's just sketched for three or not, but it's sketched intentionally in such a way, it's painted intentionally in such a way as to leave a fourth space there. And that fourth space is for us, for the church, because the invitation of the Trinity, of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is to participate in the life of God. And so coming right out of Pentecost Sunday last week, this is what the Holy Spirit invites us into, is to participate in life with God as Father, Son, and Spirit. And it's important to say some things about the way the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, relate to one another. We call them often a community, a triune community. We could also, I think, because the scriptures that we talk about today do this, they're inviting us in to become a part of the family. The family of God. So it's not just this, the family of God, but God in and of himself as is Father, Son, and Spirit in community and family with one another. And so we're invited in this table to become a part of that family. Now the Trinity and the way that God, the Father, Son, and Spirit relates to one another is creative and not destructive. And so let's be attentive to how God operates towards God's own self. God is creative, not destructive. The essence of the life that the Father, Son, and Spirit share together is one of goodness. The way they relate to one another is selfless and not self-centered. And so one of the ways that we understand how the Trinity works, how the relationship works, is that each one is continually pouring into the other, sharing life with the other, never trying to capture it for oneself, but always finding their identity through the giving of themselves to the other. Finding life within this kind of life reorients how we find ourselves in this world, reorients the way that we live in this world. It invites us, friends, it invites us to draw from a deep, 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 deep well of life, one of abundance. And so this morning, we want to hear these words from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Pay attention to maybe some language of the Trinity as we read this together. Verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughterhood. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Put a pin in this sharing in Christ's sufferings that we might share in his glory. Keep that in mind. We're going to go back to verses 12 and 13 for a minute to talk about this idea of the flesh for a moment. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Paul writes, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. The word flesh here is the Greek word sarx. Several meanings to it depending on how you use it. In one way, it can describe flesh, literal flesh, the stuff that's on our bodies that God has created, that God has called good and has given us life. That is one meaning of flesh. And as we experience life in this body and experience God in this body, sarx is a good thing. On the other hand, there is another meaning to sarx that talks about it as in reference to our carnal nature, or what I would say is our desire-driven life. And so then the outward pursuit to fulfill desires, the end of that is ourselves, which is very antithetical to what the life of God, Father, Son, and Spirit share. They're always pouring into each other. But this view of flesh and sarx is like, give me, give me, give me. I want to feel desires. I need to feel desires. I'm driven by desires. And these desires are destructive. They're talked about here as fear and slavery and death. And they produce suffering. We suffer as we follow our desires that really just end up with us being consumptive beings. And there's two kinds of suffering I want to talk about here, because we're actually invited to join Jesus in a kind of suffering. But one of the sufferings that we experience is simply just as a result of the flesh. When we are driven by our carnal nature, we suffer. Again, death, fear, slavery. Now, we can kind of discern which desires are God-given desires or good desires by looking at the orientation of those desires. Are they for another? Are they for love of God and neighbor, or do they end up in your own self? Is it for your own selfish desires? Desires over and all aren't a bad thing, but there's also some movements within Christianity is like, follow your desires. No, because not every desire is a good desire. And so you have to discern between the desires. What desires are good that lead to the love of God and neighbor and self too? And what desires are really just rooted in the flesh, ending with ourselves? We need to discern between those two things. When we follow the sarks, the flesh, and it ends with us, it ends up in suffering. We hurt ourselves, we hurt other people, we hurt or develop systems that are destructive. We take part in those systems that are destructive, whatever you might want to call it. But we suffer because of our sin. But there's also another kind of suffering. It's not a suffering that's apart from God. That would be an apart from God kind of suffering. But there's a suffering with God. And I think this is what Jesus gets at in talking about taking up his cross and following him. Suffering happens. We're not free of suffering just because we follow Jesus, but it is a different kind of suffering altogether. This kind of suffering comes about because we are seeking to be faithful. Okay, when you seek to be faithful to God, when you seek to follow Jesus, when you seek to be led by the Spirit, you will suffer because the flesh and the spirit are going to be at war within you. They're going to be butting up their heads against one another constantly. Faithfulness to God means going against the grain of what the world says, what the culture says, what our flesh says, what our desire says sometimes. And so as we follow Jesus, there is necessary suffering that comes in. Now, what's interesting is one of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the proofs of the presence of the Spirit in our lives is self-control. Friends, self-control is suffering, right? Like, go to the dragon buffet after this, right? Self-control is suffering. No, but anytime you have to, or you're being invited by the Spirit to deny the nature of your flesh that is given into consumptive desires, right? Anytime you battle that, there's suffering. There's suffering with every decision that you make that is for God and dying to yourself. You can't get away from that kind of suffering. Faithfulness means suffering. But that's okay, because as we're faithful, it leads us not to slavery, not to death, not to fear, but towards freedom. Towards freedom. I use this illustration in the last service. There is sometimes self-control. Let's talk about that in terms of speech. There is sometimes, don't you wish, that you could have just taken back that last sentence or two that you said to someone? Like, wow, if I just hadn't spit out those words, the air would be so much clearer right now. Right? Anybody have that experience? Right? But think about it. Okay, you participate with the Spirit in terms of self-control. You don't say what you desire to say, right? And in that, there is a freedom that's created in the space between the people that you're around, that you're interacting with. You don't have to overcome those words or take back those words or go around those words because you've had the self-control not to say those words. And instead, you've participated with the Spirit in not speaking, and you've kept the air clear. Now, I'm not saying, don't hear me say, I should never speak, I should never do that. That's not what I'm saying. I hope you're getting the gist of what I'm saying. We're being invited to participate in life with the Spirit that invites us to be a part of God's family. And let me say this last thing about the suffering bit. It's a lot easier to suffer with somebody. When you suffer by yourself, it's hard. Like, following Jesus on your own, by yourself, is difficult. Being faithful to Jesus on your own, by yourself, is difficult. But when you see the community of faith as people who are suffering alongside of you to pursue Jesus together, things become a lot more bearable. Not even more bearable, but it actually becomes, suffering becomes a means of encouraging one another, knowing one another deeply, a deepened community, committed community together. Like, we don't suffer alone. We don't try to just be faithful alone. We don't try to eke it out on our own. But as we participate in the family of God together, we are able to follow faithfully, maybe not, maybe easier. I don't know, but at least more supported, right? We're not on our own. And so it's not just being a part of the family of God, Father, Son, Spirit we're talking about here this morning. It's also about being a part of this family, about having one another's backs, about encouraging one another, about spurring each other on, especially when we're in that moment of struggling with our flesh, suffering with our flesh. But we're invited to become a part of this family. And this is what verses 14 and 16 through 16 get at, is this family of God that we're invited to be a part of. So verse 14 through 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughterhood. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, like we've been talking about, in order that we might also share in his glory. I want to talk about this family aspect here for a little bit, and the life that we're invited into, and the childlike nature that we're invited to participate in. But first, we just need to address for a moment the language of father or family, because while this is something that God is inviting us into, many of us probably have experienced brokenness either of fathers or mothers or family in general. And so we just want to name that. I have that experience. That's been part of my life story. But I also want to encourage us not to throw away the good things and not to stop pursuing the good things or giving hope for the good things that God has designed for us just because we've experienced distorted realities of those things. And so if you've experienced, and probably to a degree all of us have experienced distorted realities, but in destructive ways, of fatherhood or motherhood, your moms, your dads, or family in general, please don't give up hope on that part of life being redeemed for you. There is hope for that. From my experience, it took a long time for that to happen. I'm talking decades. But it's possible, okay? So I want to acknowledge that, but I also want to encourage us to pursue what we're talking about here, being a part of the family of God, being children of God. On the other side of that, not the hardship piece, but one of our interpretive community folks this last week, who had a great family life now, great family life growing up, and he said, even those of us with good families always long for something more. And I thought, well, that's actually really helpful, because it's not just us that have experienced pain that are longing for something more, but there's a good experience of family where somebody's also longing for something more. And I think that's because when God creates things that are good, they're not ends of themselves. They're signposts that point to something beyond those things themselves. They're not an end. They're a gift to point to God. It's kind of like we talked about last week with the ache of hope that the Spirit gives us. Once we experience the Spirit, or once we experience a good thing of God, it's an ache. It creates almost an ache and a longing for something more. And so it keeps us pursuing. But God enjoys giving us good things. They just are meant to point us continually towards God. So let's set this idea of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the language of family. Friends, we're adopted sons and daughters. That means you're chosen. Each one of us are, and I am not of the belief that God chooses some, God doesn't choose others. I feel like God, I believe that God chooses everyone, and it's a matter of us receiving our chosenness, so to speak. And so God chooses us as sons and daughters, chooses us as his kids. And I hope in some way that can be healing for those of us who have been rejected or maybe feel insecure or have had a tough family life. We have been adopted into God's family. One of the beautiful things about understanding God's family as an adoptive family is the diversity experienced in that family and the diversity that we could have seen experienced last week. Yeah. Anybody enjoy that last week? Y'all got quiet in 7 days, didn't you? It was a beautiful time together. When you think of adoption and adoptive families, most adoptive families don't look alike, but that doesn't mean they aren't alike, because as families come together, you gain a likeness towards one another. And so even though the likeness might not be physical, there's a likeness that you share as a part of your family as you construct life together. And that's what we experienced last week. We had a lot of people who looked a lot differently than we did and worshiped a lot differently than we did and yelled amen a lot more than y'all do. But what we got to experience, there was this diversity of the way, not only that we looked, but probably if you would visit Hospital Church or Streams of Life, there would be things that are different about our churches for sure, but there is a lot that's the same too. There's a lot that's shared as well. And as we had that experience last week, we got this kind of microcosm of a taste of what it means to be a part of the larger family of God. Together we cried out, Abba. Right? Or, Abba! Anybody? Oh, sorry. Oh, man. It was kind of funny last week. I was a little... Oh. See, this is second service. This is like... Because it's that, I'm going to stick to the script here. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, we cry out, Abba. We cry out, Abba. No, I'm not going to. It was good for me to be with Joseph and Naro. I started last Sunday and I was like, I'm really nervous. Because I knew, like, week in and week out, I'm kind of quiet. And because I know Joseph and Naro, I knew that they weren't. But I also know, in part, like, why they are the way they are, because I had those same experiences years ago too, in the Pentecostal realms of things, and so, you know, I might have been a little more lively last week than normal, but there was also this is still a part of me, like this deep, expressive passion, still a part of me that's... that has found a voice again because of them. It's just kind of beautiful. Amen. Yeah.
I loved it.
I was thinking about just having testimony time this morning, but, you know. So together we cry, Abba. And we need to sit with this for a minute because it's profound. That the God of the universe, who many of us, I know, have been taught to fear. Like the reverence piece, as we've been taught not to revere God, but to fear him in kind of like a cowering way. But the God of the universe, who definitely deserves reverence, has also invited us to call him Abba. If you don't know what Abba is or the significance of Abba, it's a very familial term. So when I was a kid, I would never call my grandfather grandfather or sir. And we just didn't have that kind of relationship. We were really close, and I called him Pap or Pappy. That's how I knew my grandpa. We just had a familiarity in relationship with us. And this is kind of like that. It's a very familial term that we would use to address God as Father. Abba carries with it this kind of familiarity that we're invited to have. And so alongside this reverence that we're invited to have with and for God, there's also an invitation to familiarity. It's not an either or, but it's a both and. It's a both and. The reverence is good in honoring the majesty of God, the truth that God is beyond us. But then again, we must also say that there's a familiarity to God because God chose to take on sarks. God chose to take on flesh. God chose to be known in that kind of way. And so God's revelation as Abba is revealing and understanding how we can approach God. And what I want to encourage us with as we close this morning is that we can approach God as a child.